With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble Playoff Special delivered by Papa John's, the official pizza partner of the Football League. Papa John's, better ingredients, better pizza. We're previewing and reviewing the first and second legs of the Football League playoffs. Some are done, some are not.
Yeah. Correct, absolutely correct.
I am spot on there. That is the voice of Luke Moore.
Hello, all right.
Pete Donaldson is also with us.
Hang on. Yeah, I'm here. Hello. Eating a unmentioned pizza. Yeah. There we go.
I'm afraid Jim is not with us.
No, he ate too much pizza.
Yep.
And was subsequently not able to make the recording.
That's right. That's right.
You can never eat enough Papa John's, in my humble opinion, who are running a VIP playoff competition. If you get yourself to papajohns.co.uk/football, sign up to be in the running for two VIP tickets, a tour of Wembley, including the changing rooms pre-match. Maybe you can sit in the bath, we don't know. A tour of the broadcasting facilities, courtesy of Sky Sports, a night stay at the Wembley Hilton Hotel, complimentary travel, and a photo with the playoff trophy.
You know as well as I do that it's not one big bath anymore in football changing rooms.
No, you can get in one of the baths.
That's true.
We've had arguments about this before, Marcus. Why are you bringing it up again? Why are you opening old wounds and letting them bleed into a big bath?
They're my favourite type of wound. Let's zoom off to the Championship straight away.
A zoom.
Derby County. Flipping heck.
Take a bow. Take a bow.
They look like they done well?
They look like Ajax of the 70s, didn't they? Absolutely magnificent.
Can I be the first to say that's a stretch? That is a stretch. But what you've done there is you've made them sound not as good as they should do because you've exaggerated how good they actually are.
Yeah, I think so.
So now everyone's going to write them off.
He's ruined that.
Which may well be what Steve McLaren wants.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, right? I'll read out the quote from Steve McLaren. Mm. He said, "We were awesome, mixing energy and entertainment to thrill our wonderful supporters."
I presume he's talking about the second leg here, because the first leg was very much a sort of let's hit him on the break type vibe.
Yeah, indeed. They won the first leg 2-1 and they won the second leg 4-1. Derby supporters are very, very confident these days. They were singing when they went 1-0 down at Brighton. "We're 1-0 down, don't give up. We're Derby County and we're going up."
Oh, really?
When they were 1-0 down early on. That's how confident they are.
I mean, people have very short memories. If they subsequently got absolute hiding, I think they probably would have went
6-2 on aggregate, though, Pete.
Yeah.
I mean, that is... It's
excellent.
Seldom you get that kind of score in the playoffs.
Well, maybe it influenced the players somewhat.
I mean, because Jesse Lingard opened the score for Brighton, didn't he?
He did.
Him of... like when they have the Olympics and then... They parade the team, the sort of countries with the athletes, and you get a...
I like that up until about C.
Yeah, right.
And it's and you think, oh, yeah, man.
And you get a group of people who have no overall sort of recognised Olympic country. Mm. And there's a name for it, and I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, so forgive me for that. But Jesse Lingard has been on loan for so long that I think maybe him and some other loanees,
like
Scott Sinclair, for example, I know he's found his feet now, but he could have been a part of this for a while. Mm. They could have, like, sort of, you know, loan players under their own banner.
And they hired guns.
Yeah, maybe they could have, like, a little bit different on their kit so people need to look out for them.
They could have Boba Fett kits.
And if they did, let's not be completely ridiculous here, Pete. This is a really serious idea.
Amazing fourth was a few couple of weeks ago.
And if Jesse Lingard would very much be a part of that because he seems to spend his entire career on loan.
I do like that idea.
He scored a good goal anyway. He opened the score for Brighton.
He did, but Brighton actually started very, very
they
brightly.
Did, but they did, but in the context of what's happened subsequently, do you not think that Derby sort of knew what they were doing?
Yes.
They seemed very happy at the Amex to sort of soak it up and hit them on the break, and that's what they eventually did quite successfully.
Yeah, indeed. Although we can't... ignore that Lee Grant in the Derby goal made a couple of great saves.
Yeah, true.
When it was 2-1 to Derby.
Oh, so, it was an all-round performance, Marcus.
Indeed, it was. It really Everyone's was. Playing their part, yep. Pete. Everyone's
when,
playing their part.
When Brighton 1-0 up and Derby had one of their sort of on-the-break attacks, which resulted in the penalty, I'm sure I heard Matt Upson go, "Chill everyone, I've got this." And what resulted was genuinely, and I don't say this lightly, and I'm a man who has been known in his own sort of casual footballing kick-around career to be partial to the odd terrible challenge himself, that was genuinely the worst penalty error challenge I've ever seen. I'm being serious.
Yeah, former international defender.
100 miles an hour. Yeah. No holding back.
No.
Completely missed the ball.
Runaway train.
And what you
straight through, it. Straight through it.
And what you
straight through the lights. Point, yeah. Through the points.
It was like a Denzel Washington film. And what you've done there, Matt, is you've missed the ball because you're not looking anywhere near the ball. If you slow that down...
So he got what he was after then?
Yeah. He completely took out what he was aiming for. Mm. The only problem was he was aiming for the player. And if you pause at the exact point, which I did do, yep, with Sky Plus, he's looking the other way. He's not looking anywhere near the ball. And the guy is lucky to survive that tackle.
Yeah. He knows that he's not going to hit a ball full of air. He's going to hit a man full of bones.
Yeah, he is.
That's why he's turning away. Yeah. He's going, oh, God.
It was. I mean,
it was one of those ones where, in real time, I was obviously watching it. I don't operate in any other kind of time, and there was a bit of a scramble. And you're thinking, "Oh, what happened there? Did that? Was that?" And you saw the replay. Yeah, like,
yeah. Referee, well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well, that's because the easiest decision I'll make this evening. He appeared to say.
But, yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness, isn't it?
I won't be pulled up against some kind of board for this decision.
No. I've awarded that penalty quicker than you can say dubious goals panel.
That's what's known in the refereeing world as an effing sitter.
Yeah. That was a stone waller with a roof on it.
Yeah.
Tiled.
Stones everywhere.
Rain-proofed. Yeah. Penalty.
Yeah. Painted in gleaming white.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a penalty. The penalty was slotted away. And then for the second goal, it's always unfair, isn't it, to see a goalkeeper own goal. For those kind
of ones. Yeah, it was unlucky.
But of course it is.
It was what Alan Hansen would call a decent hit.
It was a decent hit.
But it's come across.
What do you think of Cusack?
I think I like him. I liked it when he said he was...
What would Alan Hansen say? I like him.
I like him.
I can't spell him, but I like him.
I like him. I like him. I liked it when Cusack said he was a slave because Man United wouldn't let him leave. Do you remember that?
Oh,
and now
like
he's found
Prince.
His feet at Brighton. Yeah, a bit like Prince. And it was unfortunate, but I mean, it's a good strike, and the keeper's got to go for it. What else is the keeper going to do? It's one of those things you can't do anything about it. It's unlucky. But to be honest, I think that McLaren has out-tacticked Oscar Garcia across both legs, really.
I think McLaren's been superb all season, but you're absolutely right. And I think that there is a man who his team is playing for him, and they are enjoying their football. And he said, I think I mentioned it on a previous pod, that he'd never seen such a hungry group of young British-based players.
It's an interesting sort of line of discussion that, because that's what Brendan Rodgers said last night when he was awarded the LMA Award.
Yeah.
He said, I mean, obviously he's probably being humble and stuff like that, but he said that the biggest, the key thing to my sort of, I suppose, not really success yet, but my good development at this job is the fact that the players are just so hungry. They're so receptive and so hungry, and that obviously makes it an awful lot easier.
Well, it certainly does look like a nice change, doesn't it? I mean, Liverpool, but Derby, as we're talking the playoffs. Whereas a lot of younger British footballers, or certainly British-based footballers, are often slagged off for looking at the riches of football and one thing and another. You can understand why someone gets a bit sidetracked. But this seems like a team. I mean, who knows? They could be corrupted in a couple of years.
I think it's an important statement to make in the week where the FA's announced plans for Man City B teams and stuff like that. I think it's important to kind of stress that it's all under bullshine. But
unless I've massively underestimated it, I don't think they're going to be playing the championship, though, are they?
B
teams.
I thought it was going to be a championship.
They're going to create like a League 3 in between League 2 and the
I don't think
they get
the championship.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Derby have got some... I mean, if you watch that second leg at Pride Park...
They were superb.
Derby
really
got
were.
Such good players for it. I mean, that Will Hughes goal was absolutely superb. Oh. The thing is, we're going to come on to this in a minute, but any other playoff year, that's the goal of the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? There's been some great ones. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
I mean, that Will Hughes goal for, 18 or 19?
Yeah.
So just to be able to go, bomb, pop bang, lovely...
Yeah.
It's just glorious to see the confidence.
Do you think Brighton were affected with Gordon Greer having to go off?
Well, yeah, it was only after 24 minutes, obviously, their captain. But, I couldn't...
3-1 maybe. Do you know what I mean? I think that Derby, it was Derby's game, it was Derby's day, it was Derby's tie, really.
They just played with such confidence and they carved Brighton open over and over again. And, you know, Will Hughes' goal is such good talent and like technique. Yeah. It's a beautiful goal, it really was. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with him next year, because if Derby don't go up, are the Vultures going to start circling, or do you think he's going to be happy there?
I kind of don't want Derby to go up, because I kind of like that McLaren loves, how much McLaren loves that league.
Yeah.
And true. I don't want him to go up and, you know, get fired or whatever, because I think I like to live in a world where Steve McLaren is regarded as a decent manager rather than,
agreed,
you know, a man.
I do
who,
agree with that.
But if he gets promoted to the Premier League, he'll be given an opportunity to do well. I mean, you're not going to get fired as a Premier League manager if you perform above expectations for the first 3 or 4 months, I suppose. I mean, sometimes they get a bit trigger happy in the Premier League. That's probably an understatement. But, I mean, McLaren would have earned the right to be up there.
Worry for him, that's all.
But the problem is, Pete, the main thing I was going to say was, if you don't want Derby to go up, then you're going to have Harry Redknapp back in the Premier League.
good point.
Yeah. So we could be gunned down again, though, maybe.
Just before we move on, I really wanted to make a special point of saying that George Thorne's goal was good as well. And he, he's a player I've seen quite a bit here and there, because he was on loan. He's on loan from West Brom at the moment, but he was on loan from West Brom at Portsmouth a few years ago when he was very young. Mm. And he looked very good then.
Yeah, 25-yard volley, absolutely.
Yeah, good player.
These playoffs have given us some excellent goals the last week or so.
There's more to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
The great goal that Thorne scored was made not easier, but the fact that the ball was spinning forward, so he knew he could smash it as hard as he wanted and it wasn't going to go high because the way the ball was spinning. And a player must love it when he sees that,
and that's technique, ladies and gentlemen. That's technique. Going back to what Pete said about McLaren, he does have a little bit of stigma attached to his name in this country, and I did like what he said with regards to making the final. He said, "I love going to Wembley, but I'll tell you this, I should not be taking an umbrella whatever the weather."
He's learnt his lesson.
Yeah.
It's cost him the biggest joy of his life, and the rest of his days he will be stigmatised, but he's learnt his lesson. And that's all you can ask for, isn't it? That's all you can ask for.
You could ask for a bit more, I would argue. But what about Brighton, though? Their manager, Oscar Garcia, has resigned since the defeat to Derby. I mean, it seems a bit strange.
He's offered to resign, or is it?
He has actually resigned.
Yeah, he has resigned.
They told him to go away and think about it, and then they accepted it.
And after a brief thought, in a cafe around the corner, he came back.
No, imagine that. I have thought about it. I've decided to change my mind. Well, we've also thought about it often. Shall I take a seat? No.
That's refreshing, because presumably that precludes him from any payoffs, you know.
That was like Clough at Derby, wasn't it?
Yeah, when
he offered his resignation, because he used to do that all the time.
Yeah, and they called his bluff.
Yeah, this is Brian Clough, not Nigel, by the way, before McLaren. Yeah, they called
still
his
time.
Bluff. Yeah. It was like, no, see you later. Yeah. See you later, Cluffy. Garcia, he's done well at Brighton.
He's only been there a year, hasn't he?
Season.
They had a great time under Poirier, and obviously Poirier's gone on to slightly bigger and better things, and then Garcia's come in. After a year at Maccabi Tel Aviv, was it?
He was there a season, and he won the league.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know anything about Israeli football, so maybe fans of that league could say, well, it was an easy job to take, and it was an obvious one to win the league, but he's won the league there. He's got a bit of pedigree and an instant impact there.
I don't think winning a league title is ever going to be seen if it was a bad thing. Is it?
That's true. He was only there, and he cited personal reasons for moving on. And he wrote an open letter to the Brighton fans, thanking them for their support. So, he was a Barcelona youth coach or something like that for a couple of years. He's only 41. Mm. I mean, maybe
still time.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he's just sort of thinking, okay, well, I've had a little taste of English football there. We didn't go into the Premier League, then he would have surely stayed.
I've had a little taste of the biscuit.
That's right. What he might have said. That's right, yeah.
What about Luar's goal? It was a nice one. He looked really angry to score it.
Yeah.
Well, that was pointless.
Right at the end. Yeah. The Brighton fans actually really enjoyed that one, but I suppose when you're known for a while that you're not going to win the tie.
But don't you think the players in that situation, so you're 4-0 down, you're going out the playoffs, you're 10 minutes away or whatever it is from the end of the season, and you score quite a nice goal. Do you think they just get annoyed because they think, oh, no one's going to remember that? That was a good goal, that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
You'd rather score that as a winner, wouldn't you? You know.
I just think it's a kind of a, you just think, whatever.
I just applaud the flans. Applaud the flans that the fans have brought.
I prefer a flan.
Yeah.
Do Papa John's do flans?
That's an idea.
If not, they should do.
Yeah, indeed they should. So a brilliant win for Derby, and McLaren will take his side to Wembley against his former, workmate, I suppose, Harry Redknapp, because, of course, he was in the backroom staff at QPR only for about 3 months under Redknapp.
I'm better than this. This guy's a clown. Possibly. Allegedly. I don't know if he did think that, but... Yeah. Imagine Steve McLaren thinking of someone else as a clown.
You see, there's
that's
the
harsh,
stigma.
That's harsh,
there
yeah.
is the stigma.
Yeah. I've reverted to type there.
That's
I should be better than that.
You should be. You should
But luckily, all the listeners know I'm not.
Yes. Well, you've got a chance to redeem yourself because we're going to be talking about Redknapp.
Do you want to know what I've got for the first leg next to your Wigan nil, QPR nil?
What have you
I've
got?
Just written Dullesville, USA. QPR stanked the place out. Should we move on to the second leg?
If we must. QPR 2, Wigan 1 was the final score after extra time.
A great bit of extra time. Well, certainly the last 5 minutes. I was I nearly wet myself.
Two things helped. The floodlights and the rain.
Yeah.
That's the drama you want.
Redknapp's just soggy suit.
Yeah.
No. He just looked like he smelled of polyester and old coins. He really
mothballs.
Yeah.
I thought, this isn't their football game. This is the Shawshank Redemption.
Somebody, Martin Palermo's going to turn up any minute now in an Argentina shirt. Somebody pointed out quite rightly on Twitter, apparently if you have a brolly, you're the Wally or something, with Redknapp just drenched in a suit looking like a drowned rat. Could have done with the brolly then.
And McLaren was in the studio, so he could have pundit on that game, so he could have said,
laughing,
could have piped up.
If he'd had his time over again, I reckon McLaren would get one of those little hats. That's an umbrella hat.
Yeah.
But Pete,
you must have been delighted that Pergino opened the score.
No, it was a lovely little tap. I don't know what he's doing up there, but
putting them ahead. Trying to drag them into the playoff final.
I'll take care of this Uwe.
It was a nice finish, actually. Was it our man Clint Hill who he goes to
in front of?
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure if it was. Clint Hill went off injured at some point. I forget now. I think it might be the other side of the pitch. Clint Hill's been playing left back for QPR.
Has he?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it could have been him.
They got so much talent on that pitch, though, QPR. I mean,
really?
Do you look at that side and you think, I know, I've seen them all play in the Premier League. Yeah.
Well, what did we say? 3,800 Premier League appearances between
them. Like that, yeah.
Crankar on the ball was absolutely superb.
How good
was
it with that little bit of trickery when he smacked it and it was tipped sort of beautifully and acrobatically tipped away wide.
Yeah.
But that little jink where he absolutely roasted.
He left Jordi Gomez on the floor.
Yeah, it was just glorious stuff.
Very good.
Yeah, you get the impression with Crankar that he can produce something out of nothing. You saw him enough times play at Portsmouth.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And I know he's quite popular at Spurs as well. Maybe, possibly not quite that level. I mean, the problem is he's short of a yard of pace. He's so skillful, he doesn't necessarily need the pace at a certain level. I mean, when he went past Jordi Gomez, he was probably thinking, I'm not even trying it. I mean, Jordi Gomez is arguably a Premier League player as well.
Well, he is. Yeah.
But I really liked, I thought Charlie Austin was superb. Really was.
Yeah.
He is so busy, Charlie Austin. I remember seeing him, I think I said this on the show before, I saw him play a few times for Swindon, and when then he moved to Burnley, didn't
for the
he?
Swindon lot.
Yeah. And then when Southampton signed Joe Rodriguez, I thought, signed the wrong man here. You have signed the wrong man.
Yeah.
But obviously they hadn't, because he's good as well. But Austin's a great player. And he never gives the defenders a moment's peace. He's so tough as well. He plays just on that sort of fine line between, you dirty thug.
Yeah.
Just a little fine line.
I know what you mean.
A fine line between hassling forward and Paul Dickoff.
Yeah? Yeah.
He never goes full-blown Dickoff.
Halfway between Samuel Eto'o and Paul Dickoff.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. He occupies that Venn diagram.
Samuel Eto'o of old.
Yeah. That's generous to Austin, that. Eto'o's devastated to be in that comparison.
Well, Charlie Austin, I think, probably thought, oh, I just come here from Burnley, they're already up and safe. Right, I'm making sure this happens.
Yeah.
Dragging
yeah.
us through.
Yeah. First half, McLean's dive.
His what a
dive.
Silly boy. put it in.
That was horrendous.
Back up that 2-0.
Awful.
And don't say that he couldn't have caught it. He could have.
Mm.
He did execute the dive very well. I mean, the way he dived,
I mean,
very
he's nowhere near a player, but
yeah, try and do it sort of near a player next time. Yeah. More convincing.
He hit the post at one point, and
that should have won it. That should have ended the
tie. That was when they won them up, and he went at it with the wrong foot, didn't he?
Yeah,
tried to stab it at the outside of his foot.
Well, Rob Green made a good save though.
Rob Green's out of contract in the summer. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Blimey.
Well, I can believe that. But
I think they're thinking, if we don't go up, keep your phone on. If we do go up, I think we can do better, Rob. That's what they're thinking.
We've got the Brazil number one coming back. And he may fancy the Premier League. So we're going to have to see how he gets on at the World Cup. And there's a lot to consider.
I thought for QPR's penalty, I thought the Hoylett sort of running through, and he knew exactly where the 1-2 was going to go.
Yeah.
Bad defending, just ball watching. I just think
totally. Hoylett read that all day, and you could tell, by the way, how far he kicked the ball
exactly
in front of him.
I knew exactly where 1-2 was going to go.
Zamora is so good at the link-up play. He really is.
Yeah.
And he's not the greatest of goal scorers, as we know, but the way he just touched the ball in there perfectly for Hoylett.
Well, he set up the winner as well.
And set up the winning goal.
But the tackle, for the same way that Will Hughes' goal wasn't recognised as the best goal of the playoffs, that tackle for the penalty should be getting a lot more stick because of Matt Upson.
Yeah.
He's got away with it.
Yeah.
Because he's only done about 10% as bad as Matt Upson did. But obviously, when Austin scored the... I think it was when he scored the penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Bobby Zamora, bless him, ran in to try and pick the ball up on the blind side of Scott Carson, who didn't know he was there. He
went to the I'm not having this.
Okay, maybe he did know he was there. We'll come on to that in a minute.
Who was there and what was there.
In which case, I respect it more. He thought, I'm never getting booked for this. Not
me,
now.
Me and you were feverishly texting at each other going, that was so funny.
And for those who haven't seen it, and Carson went to go and do the thing that goalkeepers do occasionally in frustration and just absolutely leather the ball away. And obviously, keepers can do that better than anyone else.
Yep.
And Zamora got there just slightly ahead of him, and he absolutely poleaxed Bobby Zamora.
took it right in the calf. Imagine how hard a goalkeeper kicks a football when he kicks it out.
And Zamora's had his injuries.
On the toe, in the back of the calf. I'm surprised him break his bloody leg.
And the most distressing thing of it was all the other players had been celebrating the goal. So he was just on the floor on his own.
But he didn't go off, did he? No, he didn't go off because he set up the winning goal.
He sort of hobbled around for a little bit, but he seemed to get away with it relatively unscathed.
But you're right. Dead leg upon a dead leg.
Do you reckon Scott Carson was thinking, oh, this will get me headlines ahead of the World Cup selection? This is what I can do, Roy. This is what I've got in my locker.
It is quite the sign of the times, isn't it? Carson and Green in goal.
Yeah, back it really, really is. Iron Sheik as well, the wrestler, mentioning Joey Barton on Twitter, which I thought was quite interesting. Iron Sheik always,
yaps on
he's a wrestler, and he's like, I think he's I think he's a WWE Hall of Famer, and he just mouths off on Twitter all the time. I used to follow him, but then it just got quite tedious. He just swears and it's
same
weird.
Barton,
really. And he just said, I respect Joey Barton. He seems to really care about his team. So, what weird kind of world
I thought Barton
is this?
Did it right. I think he needs to lose that headband, though. I think, really, you're not fooling anyone when you've got Cranko in the same team.
Yeah, that is true.
I tell you what, Joey Barton, good at a corner. I know they didn't finish
from
one, but you know, he's a good dead ball player.
Yeah, he'd love to get back in the Premier League, evidently. Mm. So it's QPR versus Derby in the final.
Yeah.
In the final. We will be previewing the finals next time round.
Yes.
But this time we're talking about the semi-finals. Let's go to League One. Peterborough 1, Leyton Orient 1. That man, Asson Malonga, of course, on the score sheet. Suspicions of offside because he was.
Yeah. I didn't find it suspicious at all. I just thought it was offside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the lines...
In the same way, if you see someone like... You know, hit by a car in front of you. I'm not suspicious of someone being hit by a car. I've seen it. It's happened.
If he
right
flies,
there.
If he gets hit and he flies over like a fence. Yeah. You know, that's a bit weird.
Yeah, that's
am
happened.
I watching a film?
That's true.
Definitely happened.
That is very true. Well, that's not belong. I think you can. Can you forgive that lines? I mean, it
happened very quickly.
It happened very quickly, and also. I actually needed to see it again to see if the assister was in line with him or was in front of him.
Well, he was slightly in front of the ball, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. It was.
Well, yeah.
It was offside, and you could understand. But.
The official was sort of thinking, I'm going to have to tell the referee which player did that, don't I? I'm not really sure how to pronounce his name. So I'll probably let him go through.
I initially thought when I first saw it that it was just a whipped finish into the bottom corner.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it was only on the replay you saw that he got his head on that. I mean, Asson Malonga,
great finish.
He's some player, Asson Malonga. He scored goals wherever he's been. He's really young still. I think he could play at a high level.
So well, 33 goals this season.
Yeah, if they don't go out this
ridiculous.
Season, maybe he'll move on.
He had a decent chance in the second half, did he not?
Yeah, he did. I wanted to say that Orient were the better side, actually.
They were.
They certainly had more shots, had more to play. They came into the game as it went on.
Well, Adebajo got the equaliser.
He almost mucked that up as well.
Yeah,
it was one of those ones
did.
Where he went to tap it in, he didn't have his eye on it, and it scuffed the bottom of his stud, and it sort of rolled in.
People always say, you know, it's one of those ones where you don't want to get anything on it. But if you don't get anything on it, you are giving them half a chance. Though.
Yeah, I think Russell Slade was right to be disappointed, actually, because I think he might rue that. His team should have scored a few.
Well, it's... both of the semi-finals first legs in League One were quite similar in the sense that the home side probably were pleased to get the draw.
Yeah,
Ferguson admitted the Orient were the better side and he was happy with the draw.
Well, someone longer when you've got a player of that quality at that level in your team, someone who's in such good form. You've always got a chance. I remember Asson Longa. I might have mentioned it on the show at the time back in September time. He destroyed Bristol City at Bristol City. They won 3-0 Peterborough, and the first goal he scored, the ball came over and he just smashed it in the top corner like it was nothing.
Thanks.
Yeah, second goal, he picked the ball up. I think they're already 2-0 up, I think they were 2-0 up. They'd already missed a penalty. They were bossing it. But Assam Belonga didn't take the penalty, I don't think. But anyway, he picked the ball up in his own half, and he's gone on one of those really powerful mazies, right? Mm. Just all around everyone. Yep. But just some of the players, he would just go around them. Yep. Some of them, he just sort of Ronaldo bludgeoning them out of the way.
That's right.
The original Ronaldo.
How dare you?
Yeah, and then he just lifted it over the keeper. it was brilliant. I remember at the time thinking, God, this guy is something, I tell you.
They're the best ones, aren't they? When they, it's nice to see a big powerful forward charge through teams and then smash it home. But when they charge through teams and it is a nice little composed dinked finish or a lofted finish or something, absolutely. It's such a contrast. Yeah. What a contrast to the previous action.
Yeah, exactly. I thought Olejnik played well on the Peterborough goal as well, made some really good saves.
He did. But very important saves. In fact, you maybe argue that he kept them in the tie.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely did. Yeah, he did.
Russell Slade, joint winner with Wolves' Kenny Jackett for the League Man Association League One Manager of the Year award.
Can I also say before you move on to the next one that in the commentary for the Peterborough Leighton Orient game, yeah. when the players came on and started shaking hands, the commentator genuinely said, "It's the most wonderful time of the year, the League One playoffs." And I was like, "Oh, well up for this now. This is going to be amazing."
Actually, the Football League commentator, I forget which one it is on Sky Sports, he's probably one of my favourite commentators at the moment.
Yeah.
He absolutely loves it.
Next time I hear the
Charlie
Christmas song,
Charlie Austin Powers home there, but yes.
Yeah, the next time I hear the Christmas song, it's the most wonderful time. Have you considered the League One playoffs? It's the second most wonderful time.
Something to look forward to. Preston 1, Rotherham 1. Ravel for Rotherham.
Couple of tap-ins.
21 minutes. Great run. Broke the deadlock, nearly running half the length of the pitch.
It wasn't a bad goal. No one's going to remember it, though.
Yeah, because Garner fancied one. And David Ginola-esque, Pete?
It was a little bit, not quite such close control, you know. You never knew what was going to happen. It's hardly Ferris Varos in the UEFA Cup. I was going to say I could watch Ghana go all day, but I have been watching Ghana.
You've done it.
Yeah.
It was absolutely one of the goals of the season.
I think it is the goal of the season.
Mm.
It's just so graceful, and the ball's got as much to do with it as anything else. It's like two sine waves in the air, and then just stroked.
But if it was
top left, it probably would have been goal of the season.
Well, it was one of the goals of the season. I was having a conversation the other day with people, and we were saying, what was the goal of the season? And, you know, Wilshere's against Norwich, and John Shelvey's, and all these wonderful goals, Luis Suarez and Kasami, and all. And I chucked that in there, and people were like, And I was like, no, it's up there.
I think if you really add, you know, it's difficult to talk about these types of goals without being sort of disrespectful to the other goals, which you don't really want to do. But if you're looking at a skill set, you put a skill set together of all the tools that a sort of striker needs.
Chest flick volley, was it?
Yeah.
I mean, chest in front of one defender, flicking it over the other defender, and then, you know,
volleyed it over the keeper.
With grace, and it wasn't just rifled, it was actually struck within the goal.
It was an iron fist in a velvet glove. That's what it was.
That sums it up quite beautifully. Rotherham, they had the better of the chances after Garner's goal. Lee Frecklington, good name, missed a one-on-one.
Oh, that was a heavy touch.
Wasn't it?
That was a touch that will haunt his dreams.
If they don't go through it.
He did the classic, and I don't want to take anything away again from sort of League One football, because I think League One's been certainly one of the best leagues to watch this season.
There's
some really great football and teams around.
Yeah.
But that was a typical lower league heavy touch piling on the keeper.
Yeah.
And then Don Goodman, the assistant commentator, it was a really heavy
Don
tackle.
Goodman.
Yeah, I did generally. Yeah. It was a really heavy collision between Frecklington and the goalkeeper, right? And before anything's even happened, it looked quite heavy. Don Goodman goes, well, the pain of not taking that chance would be worse than any pain he could receive here. Like, he might have broken his leg, mate. I'm not sure you can be completely confident about that at this stage.
I like Goodman when he comes
You're not a doctor, Don.
I think he was expecting a slightly more sandy pitch. I think he thought that the ball was going to hold up a little bit more.
That's a good point.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but he just launched into it, and then the keeper. I mean, fair play to the keeper, because he's probably thinking, I'm glad he's taken a mistouch because he's less likely to score. But for the sake of my being, I wish he'd have been a little bit more deft.
I think it's going to be an interesting one in the second leg of this one, because Rotherham seem to be a better side away from home. They seem to play on the break if that game is anything to go by. I've seen them a couple times this season, and they do tend to play on the break, I think. Their stand-up player is that Ben Pringle guy, who's ex-Derby, of course, who's still quite young. Mm.
Steve Evans.
He's got a great left peg on him, Ben Pringle.
Yeah,
really good.
Steve Evans, I mean, he's done and said a few silly things in the past, and he said that it has taken the goal of the century to break us. There's another one.
I've gone goal of the season, Pete, which you weren't happy with. He's gone goal of the century. What have you got to say about that?
I mean, the century is only 14
years. Very early in the century to be boasting those things.
I think it's a sign of a confident man that he thinks there's not going to be a better goal scored than that in the next 86 years.
Let me finish the quote.
Okay. Is it worse?
If there is a better goal in the playoffs this year, then I'll wake up a chicken.
Is he trying to be a bit continental?
Have I missed something there? Yeah. That's not an expression.
It sounds
it?
Like the sort of thing we talk about on the main show a lot, which has clearly been mistranslated.
Yeah, which I love.
Yeah, we
which
all
I
love
look
it.
At and go, oh yes, you know, an Italian man has said something that doesn't translate. Thanks very much. That's going in. But Steve Evans clearly
he's English.
Yeah, or Scottish.
Oh, Scottish. Sorry, British. Yeah.
But yeah, so 1-1 there. 1-1 in both games. So the second legs to be played on. The 13th and the 15th of May.
Tomorrow and Friday.
That's it. League 2, Burton Albion. They beat Southend 1-0. Adam McGurk got the goal. Very composed finish.
I thought it was a terrible finish. I'm, of course, referring to his hair.
Did I say tomorrow? Okay. I meant today and Thursday. Not tomorrow and Friday. Sorry, Pete. Today and Thursday. Sorry, I should
correct. Only goal difference separated the two teams throughout this season, and it was always going to be a tight affair for this one. Ian Sharps, Burton's centre-back, was sent off.
Looks a lot like David Morrissey. The dour-faced actor.
I'd have that, yeah. He knew exactly what he was doing there. Arms out before he'd even put the foot in. He was like going, Rev, I didn't touch him.
You've got to say the first booking was harsh.
Yes,
I think so. So harsh.
Yeah. But he, as Pete said, he knew what he was doing.
He's a really important player for them. I think he's played just about every game. And Burton started off really quickly, and I think they knew they needed to start off quickly because Southend are obviously dangerous.
Yeah.
But when Sharp went off, I mean, it was just a case of sort of protecting what they had, I suppose. Yeah. Nice finish fight by McGurk.
Goal music, though.
No, I'm not having that.
No.
I think McGurk's goal was a dink.
It was of that ilk. Certainly of that ilk. Phil Brown's boys were unlucky not to find an equaliser. Little Southend United.
I thought they should have had a penalty. I genuinely think their number 15, diving in, no control at all. I thought, I know he got the ball, but it was...
I'm not sure. You talk about the one in injury time.
Is that the one where he slid in the back?
Right on the edge of the area.
He did get the ball with his toe, but he was completely out of control. I thought it was a penalty for me, definitely.
I thought Southampton were really poor. They didn't really threaten at all till sort of last 5 minutes.
Yeah. First half, it's Ishmael. I really like him.
Sorry.
What's wrong with you? Ishmael, I think you call him.
Yeah.
A lovely lower league jinky winger that you just don't see often enough, in my humble opinion. Proper crowd favourite. He calls himself Zeli Official or Zeli Official on Twitter. Blue tick, nowhere to be seen. Just calls himself Zeli Official. It's fine. I'm official.
That. That's what you got to do. If you know there's no chance of getting a blue tick, call yourself Official.
They're the type of player who
retweets prayers about himself.
Yeah, over and over again. Oh, we all do that.
Who they get drawn against a big side in the FA Cup. Puts in a great performance. Yeah. Oh, look at this guy! You know, and every time he gets the ball, he's excited.
Or like DJ Campbell,
like DJ Campbell,
and look what happened to him. Yeah. Naughty boy.
Flew too close to the sun, didn't he?
The betting sun.
England's rose.
York City. They lost 1-0 at home to Fleetwood.
Oh, what a time! End your 17-game unbeaten run.
The match was postponed due to a waterlogged pitch.
Yeah.
And Fleetwood, they take the advantage. Matt Blair scored against his former club. He bundled it in. That wasn't a good pleasing on the eye goal.
He was apologetic when he's putting the ball in the back of the net, and then he apologised afterwards.
Well, he had a muted celebration. But a celebration, nevertheless, was it? I thought his hand up was in celebratory fashion rather than apologetic fashion.
No, but it was still very subdued, I think. He was a bit of a fan favourite of York.
True, but he did celebrate, of sorts.
Sarcevic had an excellent game. Oh, the player that Pete mentioned last week being good.
Oh, was it?
Oh, everyone thinks that I'm just here to talk about yoghurt.
Wasn't listening then.
Don't praise yourself.
What I would like to mention is that York City, before the match, had a wonderful banner made of foil.
That's going to be very perishable. How did they get that? Presumably, inside the stadium.
It looked like they pulled apart several possibly marathon.
Are they trying to blind the opposition
things,
keeper?
Or maybe it was a load of inflatable balloons. You know those floaty balloons, the helium balloons.
Right.
It looked like they pulled apart a load of those. It was very colourful. It was very reflective. I think there should be more of that in football.
He could start blinding the players, I think.
I can only add further weight to that shout, Pete. Interesting.
Hume had a big chance to make it 2-0. Fleetwood
didn't take it.
Did not take it. So, yeah, Nigel Worthington came out and said that big games demand people that need to stand up and be counted. And we were a little light in the first half, and you can't have that. We were second best all over the park. But second half, we were the York of old. I think he means, like, as in before that match.
What, the House of York?
And it's kind of sad because they both came up together, like, a couple of years ago into the Football League. Sad to see one be left behind.
Indeed.
I love to see managers harking back to the War of the Roses. Yeah. That, it should happen more.
It really should, shouldn't it? But he said he's looking forward to it on Friday, which is good.
Yeah. That's the least I expect, really.
Yeah, Graham Alexander was very happy, but he said it could have been more. So it goes into the second leg there, nicely poised. Second leg to be played on the 16th and 17th of May, of course. Mm. Now then, it's a competition time with Papa John's. Score twice, half price deal. Sign up at papajohns.co.uk/football and choose a team who you think will score two or more goals in their match. And if your team does that, you would get yourself some half price pizza. I think that...
I'll go with any team that has got Assembalonga.
So you're going for Peterborough there. Peterborough. I think Rotherham versus Preston is going to be a big one, and I think Rotherham.
Yeah, I think Leighton Orient are good at home, so I'm not sure about that, Pete. I would go with Marcus.
Are you eating pizza?
Yeah.
That's not allowed.
I'm on brand. I'm living the brand.
The one show that you're allowed to. And I've noticed you've shaved your beard so you don't get cheese in it. Not
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Let's have a little bit of correspondence, Luke.
Yeah, just quickly then, because we're almost out of time,
I think.
I asked people for their highlights of the playoffs so far. And I also asked for lowlights, because, you know, it's going against the grain a little bit. And one of the lowlights I got, which is worthy of discussion, I think, is from Ben List on Twitter, who said, "Lowlight, for me, has been premature pitch invasions. One game left, fellas.
Yeah, one game left.
QPR.
QPR and Derby.
I think they did that at QPR and Derby, because they know they can't do it at Wembley, because they've got those weird kind of clothes dryers.
Yeah, they do, yeah. Mm,
can't get on. I've tried.
And I think repeatedly. I think really that's premature and they should really try and rein that in.
Yep.
The problem is it's probably very hard to invade the pitch at Wembley. It's harder anyway. Mm. So I can understand if they want to sort of get out of the way now. Fair enough. And I think we'll end with this one. Just another one quickly from David Hall on Facebook, who says, "This is a highlight and a lowlight for you. Highlight was seeing Joe Garner's absolute peach of a strike in the flesh. Technique.
Brilliant.
The lowlight being ended up in the heap in the stand behind the goal, cutting my shit open and badly bruising the back of my friend's leg."
Worth it.
That's what football's all about, yeah. Embrace it.
Him and Bobby Zamora with bruised legs.
Yeah.
Yes. So obviously you've got the score twice half price deal, but there's another competition, isn't there, that you've already mentioned, Pete, but mention it again.
I'm going to mention it again. Papa John's, they're running a VIP playoff competition. Go to papajohns.co.uk/football and sign up to be in the running for two VIP tickets, a tour of Wembley, including the changing rooms pre-match, a tour of the broadcasting facilities, courtesy of their buddies at Sky Sports, a night stay at the Wembley Hilton Hotel, complimentary travel, and a photo with the playoff trophy. And I tell you what, I'm giving you carte blanche, full permission to stick it on your head. Not
thank
legally binding.
There
stick
we are.
Stick it on your head.
Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble playoff special delivered by Papa John's, the official pizza partner of the Football League. Papa John's, better ingredients, better pizza. We'll be back to preview the Football League playoff finals on the 19th of May. See you then.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.